fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The much-coveted FIFA World Cup football trophy will be lifted by one victorious team on July 15th in Russia's capital, Moscow. Ahead of the international soccer jamboree, the treasured trophy has been traveling in Africa to promote the sports showpiece tournament. It's being shown in Nigeria today, Wednesday, as well as on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Then the trophy will go to Senegal, Ivory Coast, and Egypt. On Wednesday, the FIFA World Cup trophy was in Uganda's capital, Kampala, where Magumi Davis Rakawinge filed this report.
It's the FIFA World Cup trophy in Uganda. FIFA World Cup trophy in Uganda.
There was joy and fanfare as hundreds of soccer fans from all walks of life took turns to pose and have their photos taken alongside the coveted World Cup trophy as both traditional and modern music played in the air. 28-year-old Charles Mubilu came along with two sons, aged 6 and 8 years. Mubilu says his kids' photos with the trophy will create unforgettable beautiful memories in their lives.
I'm really so super excited about this very moment because it's not that everyone can get close to the trophy of the FIFA World Cup. I do encourage my kids, they've already arrived, they're already seated. Yeah, they've already taken their pictures for memories and so that when they grow up, to show them that they can also play the football because my kids love football.
26-year-old Linette Bahizi was equally elated by seeing the trophy of the game she profoundly loves.
I am very excited! I love what they're doing, bringing the trophy to Uganda. The World Cup is about to begin and this is just a build-up. I'm excited! What they're not to be excited about? I was staring at the trophy the whole time. I love it. I wish I could take it home with me.
Since 2006, FIFA and international beverage company Coca-Cola organized the journey of the original FIFA World Cup trophy by flying it around the world. The current trophy is actually the second generation of the coveted prize. The first trophy, named the Jules Rimet Cup in 1946 in honor of the founding father of the FIFA World Cup, was commissioned by the soccer governing body, the FIFA. And the original FIFA World Cup trophy cannot be won outright anymore, as the new regulation states that it shall remain in the FIFA's possession. Instead, the FIFA World Cup winners are awarded a replica which they get to keep as a permanent reminder of their great triumph, and the gold-plated replica is referred to as the FIFA World Cup winner's trophy. 16-year-old Blaine Mugondo, the captain of Jinja Progressive School soccer team, missed classes to come and see the trophy. He says the time is now for Uganda to play better soccer on an international stage.
My dream is to play on the Uganda team, the national team. I want to be captain of the national team. I want to feel good when Uganda has brought that trophy in Uganda. Yeah, when the trophy is in Uganda, they are saying Uganda has taken the World Cup.
Mark Kigozi, the marketing manager of Coca-Cola Uganda, says that is exactly why her company organizes the World Cup tour.
As Uganda, we haven't been to the World Cup. We narrowly missed it, you know, for the 2018 one. But I think when the young teens see that there's an opportunity, when they see this and they're standing next to it, I think it inspires them to, you know, work harder.
The FIFA World Cup trophy is 36.8 centimeters or 14.5 inches tall. It weighs in at 6.14 kilograms and is made of 18 karat gold. The tour of the trophy is expected to reach 50 countries in all the six continents before ending the journey in the host country, Russia. Africa will be represented by five countries: Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And our VOA World Cup fans can mark their calendars. We're now 99 days away to the kickoff of the World Cup in Moscow. Russia will host Saudi Arabia in the opening match, June 14th, in the Russian capital, Moscow. Well, England is in the European club football spotlight this Wednesday evening with decisive round of 16 UEFA Champions League matches in London and Manchester. In London, Tottenham Hotspur will host the Italian club Juventus at Wembley Stadium. The teams drew 2-2 in the first leg last month in Turin, Italy. And in Manchester, the English Premier League's runaway leader, Manchester City, almost certainly will advance to the quarterfinals after scoring a 4-0 victory over the Swiss club Basel in the first leg. Another Premier League club, Liverpool, coasted into the quarterfinals Tuesday with a scoreless draw against visiting Porto of Portugal to clinch a 5-0 aggregate victory. Having scored 5 goals without reply in a dazzling first-leg display in Portugal 3 weeks ago, this was described as a procession for Liverpool in its home stadium. After securing a place in the quarterfinals for the first time in 9 years, Liverpool's German manager, Jürgen Klopp, had this to say.
The maximum you can reach and achieve is the next round, and we did that in a quite comfortable way. I don't think that could have been expected, so I'm really happy about that tonight. Big challenge for us, to be honest, in the preparation. It's different to other games, of course, and I think the boys did really well. We showed fantastic attitude, a few pieces of really nice football, and defended very serious, and yeah, we're on the next round.
Real Madrid is also in the next round. The defending European champions defeated Paris Saint-Germain 2-1 on Tuesday night in the French capital to advance to the quarterfinals. Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo put Real ahead 1-0 in the 51st minute when he scored on a powerful header. It was Ronaldo's 12th goal in the UEFA Champions League competition, tops among all players. Uruguayan striker Edinson Cavani equalized for PSG on a close-range finish in the 71st minute. The Brazilian Casemiro, off a deflected effort, put Real Madrid back up in the 80th minute. Once again, final score from Paris, Real Madrid 2, PSG 1, Real advanced on a 5-2 aggregate. The powerful Spanish club is bidding for a record-extending 13th European title. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, Kenya has a very proud pedigree in the sport. But the recent World Indoor Championships in England proved disappointing for the East African country. Kenya captured only one medal at Birmingham 2018, a new low for the Kenyans at the World Indoor Championships. Bethwell Bergen won a bronze medal for Kenya in the men's 3,000 meters race on the final day of competition. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Bethwell in the mixed zone for a brief interview and asked the Kenyan athlete how he felt about winning the bronze.
I cannot complain because actually I qualified for the finals as the best loser. It meant a lot to me. I've been talking to my mind actually on winning in the podium. I've been playing very hard. And for sure, this is not only my win actually. Yes, I might have got an individual medal, but it's good because I've won a medal for Kenya.
And Yomif Kachelka, the winner from Ethiopia, he's a tremendous runner. He really did look as if he dominated the race, didn't he?
Sure, he dominated actually because I'm now gaining experience actually as far as 3,000 is concerned. This was my first year competing in the 3K, and I'm lucky I finished in the podium. So I'm gaining experience slowly by slowly.
Well done, Bethwell.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Kenya's Bethwell Bergen, bronze medalist in the men's 3,000 meters at the recent IAAF World Indoor Championships in Birmingham, England. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, International Association of Athletics Federations President Sebastian Coe says Russians could be stopped from competing as neutral athletes if the country fails to show dramatic progress in the fight against doping. Now, Russia has been suspended from international athletics since 2015, when the World Anti-Doping Agency found evidence of widespread doping. The only Russians allowed to compete at IAAF events since then have been designated as neutral athletes. IAAF President Sebastian Coe says, and I quote, "Unless dramatic progress is made, and we genuinely hope it is being made, then we will have to review at our council meeting in July the status of the neutral competitors and the potential for the Congress to decide upon the ultimate sanction, I guess, which is expulsion." Sebastian Coe referring to Russia and its doping issues. Just ahead, my Wednesday National Basketball Association chat with Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
It's time for our Wednesday National Basketball Association chat with Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here again.
Welcome back, Mwamoyo. Before we chat about some of the trending NBA stories, why don't we take a look at last night's NBA results? And go ahead, run down the scores for our
plenty
VOA
of
listeners.
Action last night. This is the time when it's like basketball heaven in terms of action.
I like that, basketball heaven. Hoops heaven.
So last night we have Philadelphia 128-114 over Charlotte Hornets. We have Toronto Raptors 106-90 over Atlanta Hawks. Your beloved Washington Wizards.
Go Wizards!
117-113 over Miami Heat.
Go Wizards!
Houston Rockets, we're going to talk about this. They are on a 16-game streak.
Wow, what a roll.
I'm telling you, it's amazing. So they won 122-112 over Oklahoma City Thunder. This
good
was
team.
A big game.
Good team.
Dallas Mavericks 118-107 over Denver Nuggets. Portland Trail Blazers 111-87 over New York Knicks. Defending champions, Golden State Warriors 114-101 over Brooklyn Nets. And New Orleans Pelicans 121-116 over LA Clippers.
Well, let's start with those red hot Rockets, Mwamoyo. Explosive Rockets, 16 wins in a row. I love to talk about James Harden. I know he's been a key to their success, but maybe a few other players who have helped Houston on this big winning streak.
The streak continues. Houston Rockets are playing amazing basketball, but let's talk about what's the difference maker in this team. Houston has been playing fairly well in the past few seasons, but it appears that there's an X factor this season that makes them so good, and that is Chris Paul, who came over from LA Clippers. Chris Paul, he has been one of the premier point guard from the time he came into the league in 2005. So he's been in the league, 13 seasons now. You know, for a point guard, that's a lot of mileage, especially on a 32-year-old legs.
A lot of running.
A lot of running, yeah. But the past 2 years with LA Clippers, his career seemed to be kind of you know, waning, you know. But he now, as when he came to Houston, he got new energy with him. I think that's because the style fits him very well. Coach Mike D'Antoni, remember him from, you know, the Phoenix Suns with Steve Nash. He likes the run and gun style. He's very fast. And the point guards who play fast, they fit very well with him. And that's the major difference with the Houston Rockets now. Of course, playing with James Harden, who is likely to be the MVP this year, you know, that makes the team even more potent.
I agree with you. I think Harden, right now, he's my pick for MVP. I'm looking at the box score from last night, Memorial. Harden had 23 points. Chris Paul had 25 points. They're really kind of starting to mesh, I think, in that backcourt.
They're playing very well. They know each other now. They move the ball well. And then they have the other players who are also fit in the system, you know, run and gun. Mike D'Antoni, as I say. So the whole team is gelling. The stagnation that you used to see with Houston Rockets in the past 2 years is, you know, we don't see that anymore. They are always on the go.
And in terms of their explosion, this shooting from the team, at least last night, was just spectacular. Here's another stat from last night, Memorial. They took 33 three-point shots. They made 17 of them. So 51.5% from three-point territory. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. And you're talking about somebody like Trevor Ariza, who usually he plays very well when he has good teams, good players around him. He was a big shooter when he was with the LA Lakers, Kobe Bryant, Shaq O'Neal, and Derek Fisher. He came to Washington Wizards. He didn't perform that well. But now, there you see him.
And if we take a quick look at the standings right now in the NBA, the Rockets, with that big winning streak, they have the best record in the NBA, 50 wins and 13 losses. Golden State right behind them, 50 wins and 14 losses. Looks like the Warriors and Rockets could go right down to the wire. Memorial.
Right down to the wire, and anything can happen.
Well, another big story trending this week, Memorial, involves, right now he's not playing because of a broken hand, Kevin Love, star player for the Cavaliers, a forward, and he has kind of brought to the forefront mental health issues in the league. Specifically, he talked in an interview about having panic attacks during the game. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, Sonny, first of all, you have to understand our image of professional athletes is that, you know, tough men and women who perform and execute their duties in front of millions every day. So we don't think of them as normal people, mere mortals like us.
Exactly.
Who can suffer, you know, what normal people go through. Particularly such a thing as mental health, depression, because mostly due to our own misunderstandings, we tend to think that it makes you weak, as a weak person. But they are normal people, and it takes a lot of courage for these athletes to come out and talk about that. DeMar DeRozan of Toronto, he did that. Channing Frye, Derek Rose. You know, Derek Rose, when he was playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he took some weeks off because of that.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. If you remember some years back, Scottie Pippen had the infamous migraine headache incident.
I remember that.
Yes. So as players, tough people, we don't expect them to do that. But now they have come out, and it's a very good thing. Let me read what Kevin Love wrote. He says he's expected to be strong. Don't talk about your feelings. Get through it in your own. Tough it out. You know, and the notion that talking about what's bothering you would be an admission of weakness that could derail your success and cause others to view you as weird or different. You know. But at this time, this is a very brave decision by these professional athletes. And the best thing out of this is it shows others that it can happen to anyone. Don't be ashamed. Seek help.
And it seems like Love is getting support from his teammates, Momoyo. LeBron James came right out in support of
LeBron
him.
LeBron James came right out and tweeted saying, now you are even bigger than you used to be. So, you know, that's a lot of support. You'll see a lot of, you know, players coming out with, you know, some of these issues, which gives them an opportunity to be addressed and go back to the game.
We wish Kevin Love well as he tries to get back into the lineup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I was thinking about one player you mentioned, Momoyo, Derrick Rose, kind of an injury-plagued career. And I would think that, you know, when you're sidelined a lot, I mean, that probably contributes to those feelings of depression and I got to get out there and start playing again.
Yeah, you start doubting yourself. You start doubting whether you can come back to the form that you used to be. And that's what ailed Derrick Rose a lot because he was a premier player with the Chicago Bulls. So in his mind, he wanted to come back and perform at the same level, which is not, you know, easy. It takes time to get to that level. And that can lead to some kind of depression.
All right, let's switch the spotlight to another team on a winning streak right now, Momoyo. The New Orleans Pelicans, they beat the Clippers last night, 121 to 116. They've won 9 games in a row, and these winning streaks are coming as kind of the team's jockey for playoff position. So the Pelicans making a playoff push.
And with the Pelicans, it's kind of under the radar. People don't really see them, you know, playing on national TV that much. So everybody is kind of a little bit shocked that they have won 9 in a row. But they are playing very well. They won against Clippers last night. And they're jockeying for, as you say, they're jockeying for a good position for the playoffs. The Western Conference is going to be very interesting in the playoffs.
2 key players for the Pelicans, Anthony Davis, 41 points on Tuesday night and 10 rebounds. And here's a player I kind of lost track of a little bit, Momoyo. Rajon Rondo, playing
exactly.
Point guard for the Pelicans. He had 13 points, and he also had 9 assists. He is a quality point guard.
He's a quality point guard who led the Boston Celtics to 2 championships. And then he got out of Boston. He bumped from team to team. He wasn't, you know, he didn't really find his footing very well. But now it looks like he has found a place where he can lead a team again.
What other teams have caught your eye at this point, Momoyo, of the season as we sort of wind down towards the playoffs?
Toronto Raptors, leading Western Eastern Conference, they are up there and they don't make a lot of noise, but this is a very dangerous team. Cleveland Cavaliers, they're still up there. Your beloved
Washington Wizards,
you know, good position in the playoffs, and they're likely to do well, especially when John Wall comes back.
And in his absence, John Wall's absence, this young player from the Czech Republic, Tomas Satoransky for the Wizards, he had another big game for the Wizards last night. If I check my scorecard right now, Satoransky had 19 points for the Wizards and 7 assists, so he's delivering right now.
He's delivering, but they need to rest Bradley Beal because he's been playing a lot of minutes, and as a result, in some games, his output is really, not all that good. He's a very good player, but he appears to be, you know, playing too much.
Too many minutes.
Too many minutes, and that's affecting his game.
Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. Thank you, Momoyo.
Anytime.
And that wraps up the March 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
If there's one thing all armed conflicts have in common, it's that chaos and strife create opportunities for society's less scrupulous citizens, crooks and thieves, to enrich themselves by looting. This has been the case in Libya. Since the beginning of the Libyan civil war in 2011, looters made off with, among other priceless treasures, ancient statuary and collections of old coins, as well as a hoard of Hellenistic and Roman objects called the Benghazi treasure. They stole from bank vaults and museums, pillaged antiquity displays and archaeological sites, keeping the profits for themselves or using them to finance terrorist activities. The United States is one of the destination countries for such loot, and that is why the United States and Libya signed in late February a landmark bilateral Memorandum of Understanding on cultural property protection. The memorandum will impose import restrictions on categories of archaeological material representing Libya's cultural heritage dating from 12,000 BC through 1750 AD and Ottoman ethnological material from Libya dating from 1551 to 1911 AD. Heritage sites that are hundreds and thousands of years old, a record of civilization over time, are rapidly being destroyed for financial gain. In the spirit of our close security partnership, the United States and Libya are committed to denying terrorists and transnational criminal groups access to this funding stream, said Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs Stephen Goldstein at the signing ceremony.
The United States has been unwavering in its commitment to protect and preserve cultural heritage around the world and to prevent trafficking in cultural property that finds criminal and terrorist networks. Our policy is clear. The unlawful destruction of cultural heritage and the trafficking of cultural property are unacceptable.
The goals of cultural property agreements are to reduce the incentive to pillage, to help countries protect their cultural heritage and increase lawful access to cultural objects and awareness of world heritage by encouraging interchange of materials for scientific, cultural, and educational purposes, said Undersecretary Goldstein. The new agreement demonstrates a joint commitment of the United States and Libya to ensuring that Libya's heritage, of which Libyans are justifiably proud, will be protected and accessible for future generations to enjoy and appreciate.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, voters in Sierra Leone go to the polls on March 7th to elect a new president, parliament and local councils. President Ernest Bai Koroma is stepping down after serving two terms. His presidency faced the Ebola outbreak and allegations of corruption. An in-depth discussion on the most pressing issues facing Sierra Leone. On the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.